Hi, this is Dr. Margaret Paul, and I'm very, very pleased to be here with you this evening to talk about how to know when to leave a relationship. I think it's a big topic for a lot of people, and a lot of people have written in questions, and I'm certainly going to try to get to as many of them as I can, but please don't be too disappointed if I don't get to your question, as there were many questions and limited time, and I take them on a first-come, first-served basis. So, first of all, let's talk about what creates problems in relationships that leads to wanting to leave. And the major cause of relationship problems is one or both partners abandoning themselves. Now, unfortunately, all of us have learned how to do this. All of us have learned how to not take responsibility for our own feelings. And that's what self-abandonment is. It's when we don't take responsibility for our own feelings. And many people get into a relationship hoping that the other person will give them what they didn't get as they were growing up, will give them the love and the sense of worth and the safety and security that they didn't get when they were growing up. And because most people have not learned how to give that to themselves. And unfortunately, this is not something that another person can give to us. And so we get into a relationship hoping that somebody can do this for us, and then they don't. And then we feel alone, and we feel abandoned, and we feel upset, and we decide this is not the right person for me because this person is not meeting my needs. I can't tell you how often I hear people saying, well, I need to leave this relationship. This person is not meeting my needs. Not realizing that that is not that person's job to meet most of your needs. Certainly there are needs that we all have, but they're usually not the ones that people are complaining about. The real needs that we have is that we need to learn with each other, we need to grow with each other, we need to play with each other, we need to share love with each other. But what we don't need is for somebody to make us feel safe and worthy and lovable. And that's usually what people expect from each other. And so people come into relationships expecting this, not knowing how to take care of themselves, and then feeling unloved because they're abandoning themselves and blaming the other person. And this is usually where people are when they leave. And when I work with clients, which I work on the phone and I work in five-day intensives, I work in workshops, people often ask me, well, my needs are not getting met. I'm lonely in this relationship. I'm unhappy. We fight a lot. When is it time to leave? Now, the problem is most people leave way too soon. They leave with all of their self-abandonment going on. And since I've been doing this work for 42 years, I've seen people go in and out of relationships basically doing the same thing because we take ourselves with us wherever we go. We take with us our codependency. We take with us our self-abandonment. If we have not learned how to take care of ourselves in one relationship, then we have to learn it in the next or the next. Or the next. And so I usually say to people, you know, don't leave until you know how to really meet most of your own needs for feeling safe inside, for feeling secure, for feeling lovable, for feeling happy, for feeling connected within and connected to a source of spiritual guidance. Why leave when there's so much healing that you can do within the relationship? And this does not take the other person doing it with you. The other person is touching off your issues. If you leave, nobody's touching off your issues. They won't get touched off again until the next relationship. Most people, when they leave a difficult relationship, they're fine. Many people are fine when they're alone. They take care of themselves. They go out with friends. They feel fine. They think they're healthy. And then they get into a relationship, and suddenly all of their issues are touched off again. All of their fears of rejection, all of their fears of abandonment and all the ways they protect themselves when fear comes up, which is their anger or their compliance or their withdrawal or their resistance. They go right into their protective behavior. And one person's protective behavior, protective controlling behavior, sets off the other one. And they go into this circular pattern. You know, they may be madly in love at the beginning, but pretty soon their fear of rejection and their fear of being controlled gets set off. And they go into that circle. And then they say, well, this relationship isn't working. I picked the wrong person again. But that's not necessarily true. You didn't necessarily pick the wrong person. It's just that there's a lot of learning that needs to be done. There's a lot of healing that needs to be done. So much is getting set off for you. And this is a perfect opportunity for you to do the learning and healing that you need to do, which means to learn and practice the inner bonding process, because this is the process that teaches you how to take personal responsibility for your feelings, whether you're alone or whether you're with somebody. The inner bonding process teaches you how to stay connected with your own feelings and how to learn from your pain rather than avoid it by your protective behavior or trying to control somebody else, how to tune into a source of spiritual guidance that guides you in how to take loving care of yourself. Now, you know, I've worked with thousands of couples over these many years that I've been doing this, and my experience is that when one person decides to learn to take responsibility for themselves by practicing inner bonding, more often than not, the whole relationship shifts into a much, much better place. Now, it's not guaranteed. I tell people when they decide to go on a healing journey that the relationship may get much better or it may get much worse. Because, for example, if you're a caretaker and you've been giving yourself up to the other person and you decide that that's no longer serving you well and you decide to take care of yourself, the other person might be very angry about that and the relationship might get better. But on the other hand, that other person might actually like that, might like you better taking care of yourself and might decide to learn to take care of themselves, and so the relationship will get better rather than worse. So the time to leave a relationship is, number one, if there's physical abuse. If there's physical abuse, it's dangerous. And no matter what else is going on, it's not ever, ever healthy to be in a physically abusive relationship. Now, many relationships are emotionally abusive, are verbally abusive. And people ask me all the time, well, what about emotional abuse? Well, it's not exactly the same as physical abuse. It may be too intense and it may be a reason to leave, but usually when there's emotional abuse, the person at the other end of it is abandoning themselves so much that there's no respect at all for themselves. They're allowing themselves to be emotionally abused. Same with physical abuse. They're allowing it, but that's dangerous. And so they need to leave in that case. But with emotional abuse, you can certainly learn how to take care of yourself in the face of it. And that can completely change the system. I've worked with many, many couples who were in emotionally abusive relationships where one person decided to learn how to take care of themselves and the whole relationship shifted. So once again, I encourage people, unless it's, you know, really, really overwhelming emotional abuse, to do your own work before deciding to leave. So the time to leave is when you're no longer either taking from somebody else, in other words, making somebody else responsible for you, or you're caretaking, which is taking care of somebody else rather than taking care of yourself. The time to leave is when you're, excuse me, when you're happy with yourself, when you like yourself, when you love yourself, when you value yourself, when you're really taking loving care of yourself, but the relationship either is not getting better or it's getting worse. Now, it will naturally end. If you're really taking good care of yourself and your partner isn't joining you in that, it will become apparent that you're in two different places and that it's time for this relationship to end. But the time to end it is when you're not blaming your partner anymore for your feelings, when you're not angry, when you're not making him or her responsible for you. There's no anger or blame going on. It's just that it's apparent that you're on two different paths. You're just not in the same frequency. You're not in the same wavelength. There's no more anger, no more blame, no more being a victim, no more saying you're not meeting my needs. It's just that you've learned to take loving care of yourself. Your partner hasn't. They haven't joined you on that healing, learning, growing journey. And there's no more reason to be there. You're not going to learn a whole lot more from being with somebody when you're really in a good place with yourself for a period of time and that person just isn't joining you there. So the time to leave a relationship is not when you're angry and miserable and blaming. The time to leave a relationship is after you've dealt with all that and you're taking loving care of yourself and you're feeling happy and good, but there's just no connection between the two of you. You're just in different places in your life. Now, as I said, I've been working with couples with inner bonding for a very, very long time. And one of the things that I've seen is that what makes for a really wonderful relationship is when people commit to the process of being loving. People often ask me, how do I know when to commit to somebody? And it's not committing to somebody. It's committing to yourself. It's committing to yourself to learn and grow and become more and more loving with this other person. Is this the person that you want to learn and grow with? Is this the person that you want to deal with your fears with? If this is the person you want to do that with, then great. You're committing to being in the process of learning and growing and loving with that person. But it's not so much a commitment to the person as it is to the process, as it is to yourself being in the process of learning more and more about loving. And for those of you that don't know, the basis of the inner bonding process is intention. And there's only two intentions, and one is the intention to learn about loving yourself and others, and the other is the intention to protect against your pain with some kind of protective, controlling behavior. And as I said, this is where most people are in difficult relationships. They're both in the intention to protect rather than the intention to learn. And what I'm suggesting is that before you leave a relationship, move into an intention to learn. Now, if you're thinking about whether to commit to somebody, you want to see whether you're in the intention to learn and whether they are. That's one of the things I always encourage people who want to be in a relationship. Make sure that you go into this relationship with your own intention to learn and that your partner also has an intention to learn. Because without that, there is no way to learn and grow and resolve conflict. So with the couples that I work with, most of them get much better, even if just one of them is doing the inner bonding process. Because when one person changes the system does change. And sometimes it gets worse for a while, and then it gets better, and sometimes it just continues to get worse and worse. And then, as I said, that may be the time to leave. Now, emotional responsibility is the key. It's wanting responsibility for your feelings, both the feelings that you cause by your own thoughts and your own beliefs and the feelings that are caused by other people's unloving behavior. It's moving yourself out of being a victim and into learning how to take care of your own feelings. This is what you learn when you learn and practice inner bonding, and I suggest any of you that have not taken our free course, please take it and begin to learn the inner bonding process. I suggest that you join our website, which really, really supports people in learning and healing and supports you in your inner bonding process, to come to one of our intensives, to come to our workshops, all of these, and to go into the store and hear the podcasts and listen to the book, listen to the CDs, DVDs, read the books. We have a lot to support you in learning the inner bonding process. And I believe next week, a software program that I've been working on for 12 years, is finally going to be released. I think that it's going to be released on Monday, so I'm very, very excited. And it's a fabulous way of learning the inner bonding process. So this is about moving out of being a victim and into your personal power, moving out of blame and into responsibility for your own feelings. I want to encourage you, if you're thinking of leaving a relationship, learn to do that. Excuse me, learn to do that first. Learn inner bonding. Learn to take responsibility for yourself first. Learn the process. Practice the process. If you need facilitation, I work on the phone. Other facilitators work on the phone. There's many ways of getting help. But don't just leave unless there's, as I said, physical abuse. So one of the things that needs to happen in order to do this work is that you need to be willing to let go of control, of thinking that you can change the other person. Because this is what people get into, trying to change the other person to get them to meet your needs rather than you changing yourself. The only one you can change is you. And focusing on trying to get somebody else to be different is what creates a huge, huge problem. So I am going to take some time now to answer questions. A lot of people have asked questions, and there's quite a few people on the line here. And so I'd like to start with on the line, and then I'll go to the questions that people have written in. And if one of you want to ask a question, please press *7, and that will enable you, that will take you off of mute. Mute is *6. *7 is to talk, and I will be happy to work with you a bit, give you a little example of inner bonding, and answer your questions. So is there anybody who has the courage to ask a question? If not, I'll go right into one of the written ones. Anybody here? Okay. So the first question is by Nadell. And she says, I was living with a man who denied me a relationship, even though we functioned as a couple. I finally took loving action and asked him to leave. After some time, he began pulling on me once again. Most recently, he acknowledged how he took me for granted and regretted his behavior towards me. If he wishes to re-enter my life, can I do so by letting him know that I will only do this if we are in a committed relationship? Otherwise, I can no longer compromise myself. Can I assume he is taking responsibility for himself, or should I assume that this is just another desperate attempt on his part to use me once again? I've been working through inner bonding, and I am developing my own self-worth, which is when I defined my boundary of a relationship. I'm not certain if I'm ready to move on to someone else, or should I resolve this with him, if, of course, he's willing, so that we can both finish working through our issues. In our previous situation, I was the caretaker and he was the taker. It was only after he left that I put myself first. Do I really need him for my stuff to come up? So this is an interesting question in that very often we like to believe that just because somebody says that they really want to come back and they want to be committed means that any real change has taken place. But it's my experience that unless somebody is actually been doing inner bonding or been in therapy, been working on themselves, there's no real change that's taken place. Right now, your boyfriend is feeling the effects of the rejection, but it is likely that once he gets back into the relationship, his fear of engulfment will come up, which is why he wasn't willing to commit. A lot of people have a fear of engulfment. And the minute they commit, their fear of engulfment comes up. But the minute you move out of the relationship, the fear of rejection comes up. And so his coming back doesn't mean there's any real change. And I want to encourage you, if you really want to be in a committed relationship, to not move back with him until he gets some help around his fear of commitment. Even if you say to him, I can't compromise myself, I need a commitment, he will likely say that he'll commit because right now he's in the fear of rejection. But as soon as he moves back into the relationship, his fear of engulfment will likely come up. And he's going to do the same thing that he did before. So it's not so good to put yourself back in that situation. You're asking if you need him for your stuff to come up. Well, it's going to come up whether it's with him or another relationship. It sounds like you're working on yourself, which is really great. But right now, your stuff is wanting to believe that he's changed. And that's what you need to be dealing with, is the false belief that he's changed just because the two of you have been apart. It doesn't happen that way. It takes a lot of work to change. It doesn't just happen. Okay, so is there anybody on the line now that would like to ask me a question? I thought I heard somebody click star 7. Anybody who wants to ask? It's an opportunity to do some work with me now, and I promise you that you won't get hurt by it. I hear somebody.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, what's your name, Annie?
My name is Wendy.
Wendy? Okay, Wendy,
yes.
Do you have a question?
I do. I left a relationship a couple of months ago because I was dating someone who also wasn't really there in the relationship, and we've been apart for a couple of months now. He has not come back around, and I'm struggling with my own feelings of feeling angry and feeling really like I want to blame him, but we're not in a relationship together anymore, so I'm really just working on my own, and I just wondered if you have any suggestions for me to deal with my, you know, anger and blame, and I really feel like a victim, even though I know I'm not.
Right, and so what I want to encourage you to do right now, just go inside for a minute and see if you can tune into that angry, blaming part of you.
Okay.
And I'd like you to ask that part of you, what are you angry at me about? How am I not taking care of you? How am I abandoning you? Imagine that the angry part of you is a little girl who's feeling unloved. And that
okay.
She's feeling unloved by you.
Okay.
So ask her, how am I abandoning you? And go inside and let the angry part of you get angry at you.
Okay, I'm writing all this down because I'm going to have to do this when I, you know, I'm not online. I definitely can think of a zillion ways that that part of me is angry at me for abandoning myself. So
right,
I think
okay.
It's a good place to start.
That, yes, that is the place to start. Anger is generally a projection onto somebody else of how we're abandoning ourselves. And we always feel like a victim when we think it's somebody else who's doing this to us. But as soon as we move into really, the, you know, moving into wanting to learn, being in the intention to learn about how we're abandoning ourselves, that's when we move into the personal power, because we can do something about that. We can't do something about somebody else. But
yeah.
Right now, even just my suggesting that you ask yourself how you're abandoning yourself, all kinds of ideas are coming up for you, right?
Yeah.
Good. That's great.
Okay.
So you want to start to do an IB, an inner bonding process around that, and take a look at that. And then in the inner bonding process in step 4, we open to learning with a source of spiritual guidance, and it's one of the things that we teach people how to do. Those of you that are interested in learning how to do that, to join our website, we have visualizations where we teach people how to connect with their personal source of guidance. And then in that step, you're asking, well, what would be loving to me? What would be in my highest good? And we're able to access the answers of what it means to be loving to ourselves, because we don't have good role models in our society of what it looks like to be loving to ourselves. We have great role models of self-abandonment, but not what it's like to be loving. So we have to turn to a higher mind, a higher source of guidance. And this is one of the things that people learn to do as they practice inner bonding. So, Wendy, thank you so much, and
thank
I hope that was helpful to you.
It was very helpful. Thank you.
Good, good. And is there anybody else online that would like to ask me a question?
Oh, hello.
Yeah,
okay, we got a bunch of people, one at a time.
I have a question.
Yeah, and what's your name?
My name is Sam.
Sam, okay.
Yeah.
And what's your question?
Well, I'm in a codependent relationship with a man. And I've been in a relationship with him for about a year and a half, and we've been having this on and off type of thing. What happens is that we get into fights and he says something very hurtful and I run away. Then, you know, we don't talk for 2 weeks at a time. And then because I can't deal with not being in a relationship with him, I end up going back. And I've been working for the last year and a half to kind of separate from him, and we've gotten now to the point where we don't talk months at a time. And then this last time, you know, we didn't talk for 2 months, and then I took him back because I thought, you know, it was going to be different, and it was sweet for a while. And then recently, about a month ago, we went into another big fight, and he said something very hurtful to me, that it was so hurtful that I had to hang up the phone, and I couldn't deal with it. And we haven't talked for about a month now. And this time around, I feel like I really, really separated from him. And I think the most loving thing I could do for myself is not to go back to that type of emotionally abusive relationship, because that's what it was. It was
that may be, Sam, but I want to encourage you to do the same thing that I encourage Wendy to do, and that is to start to go inside and ask the little girl in you how you are emotionally abusing her. Because the fact is that our external relationships are very frequently a mirror of how we treat ourselves. And so whether or not you go back to me is less important than how you're treating yourself. Because even if you break up this relationship permanently and you go into a new relationship, as long as you are abandoning yourself in the way that I can feel you are because of what's happened in this relationship, he would not be treating you this way if there wasn't some ways that you're treating yourself in that way. That's what's important here, is for you to understand the self-abandonment that's going on here, the self-judgment, the not attending to your feelings, the making him or others responsible for you, the turning to various addictive protective behaviors. These are all ways that we abandon ourselves. And so I want to encourage you to take your focus off whether or not you're going to be in the relationship with him, and put the focus on creating a deep and connected relationship with yourself. And then it will become apparent what will be in your highest good regarding your relationship with him. Pardon me? Hello?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. So does that make sense to you, Sam?
Well, from what I understand, what you're telling me is that I should focus on the thoughts that I'm telling myself that are hurtful to me rather than focus on what he's telling me that's hurtful.
Yes, exactly. How are you hurting yourself? How are you abandoning yourself? That's what you need to take a look at.
I think that'll be challenging.
Yeah.
That'll be
but it's the only thing that will eventually lead you into a loving relationship. That's what inner bonding is about. And if you were to come to our site and take our free course and join our community, you will start to understand how to go about doing that.
Yeah, I've been to the I've tried the 7-day, and I've started to use some of the techniques. You know, I'm starting to, you know, ask myself, you know, how I'm feeling, and I'm learning to deal with my own emotions, and I'm getting better at that. But
okay, good, and that's what I want to encourage you to continue to do. But take your eyes off whether or not you're going to end up with him, and really work on developing that inner relationship.
Okay.
So yep. I'd like to take a question from somebody who wrote in, and
yes?
This is Melissa. Excuse me. This is. Somebody needs to press *6, please, because we're hearing you. Okay. If I end a relationship with somebody and they wish to remain in contact as friends, but I still love him, how do I decline? I've tried to cut off contact, but he continues to email me and call me. I initially responded out of guilt because I just shut the door on this man. He has hurt me so much, and although I have forgiven him, a part of me wishes to just move on. I don't know if he wishes to rekindle our relationship or if he is simply lonely. Okay, so the important statement here, Melissa, is where you say a part of me wishes to just move on. The part of you that doesn't He is relating to that. As I said, people treat us the way we're treating ourselves. He is picking up that you haven't really decided to move on. Once you really decide to move on, once that's 100% solid decision on your part, he'll start leaving you alone. He will pick up the energy of that, and he'll leave you alone. But you're not sure. So you're kind of on the fence when you say, a part of me wishes to just move on, but not all of you. And so you need to do some inner bonding exploration to really find out what is in your highest good. This is where turning to one's spiritual guidance comes into the picture. Is saying, what is in my highest good? What is most loving to me? Rather than deciding from your head. When we decide from our head, we generally make the wrong decision because our head is programmed with a lot of false beliefs. It's the wounded part of us, and you're not going to make a decision based on what's really loving to you. So I encourage you to learn to ask your spiritual guidance, what is in my highest good, and follow that. Okay, is there somebody else online who would like to press star 7? Yes, go ahead.
I have a question.
Yes, what's your name?
My name's Rodney.
Rodney. Okay, Rodney, go ahead.
Well, I was, I didn't realize it until recently. I've been in counseling for the last 3 years, but I didn't realize that I had a lot of the self-abandonment issues that you talk about growing up and from my family. And growing up, I was, you know, I was the one that was going to go to college and all this stuff. And so I was the one that took care of my parents when they couldn't take care of themselves and so forth. And then, so I was more like a caretaker, I guess. And then I met somebody who I fell in love with, who I basically, I feel like I switched roles. I became a taker and because she was such a strong caretaker. And so I was wondering, one, is that possible? And two, I've been in counseling, and I've done the inner bonding seven-day thing, and I may attend one of your intensives, but what I wondered about is if I'm going through this process of learning about myself and learning how to satisfy myself, and the other person doesn't, do I have a chance at a normal relationship?
Well, that's what I was talking about at the beginning. First of all, you're saying, is it possible to switch from caretaker to taker? And yes, people do that all the time. These are two sides of the codependent system. They're both coming from a wounded place. They're both coming from self-abandonment. They're actually quite similar. The taker is very overt. Here, you're responsible for me. The caretaker is more covert. I'll take care of you so that maybe you'll take care of me. But both the taker and the caretaker are hoping that the other person will give them what they want. And so, yes, you can switch back and forth, and even within the same relationship, you can be a taker with one issue, a caretaker with another issue.
That's exactly what we are. Even though my fiancé and I, we had some difficult times, and we've separated three or four times, I'm still supporting her, you know, and we still see each other. And so, in some roles, I'm the caretaker, and then other roles, I'm the taker.
Yeah, that's right. But both sides of it are codependent. Neither side is healthy. Now, you're asking, if you really do your inner work, what will happen? And I don't know what will happen. What I say to people is you've got to look at it as 50-50. If you are the one that's doing your work, the relationship could get a whole lot better, and it could get a whole lot worse. And I would have no way of knowing which one. You have to be prepared for either one. But the way you're going, you're not going to end up with a relationship that works. And so you have nothing to lose by really deeply learning the inner bonding process, practicing it. Inner bonding is something that has to be practiced on a daily basis throughout the day. It's kind of like exercise, like you go to a gym for a while and you exercise and you get in good shape. But if you stop, you go right back to being in bad shape. And so inner bonding is an ongoing process. It's something you build into your life, you learn to do throughout the day. And I want to encourage you to really begin to practice. It's not enough to read the free course. You have to begin to practice the process. You might want to join the website and get support with that and really get into it. Come to an intensive, as you're thinking of doing, and really immerse yourself in learning what it means to take responsibility for your own feelings. And then you'll know whether this relationship is going to move forward or whether or not it's going to end. You're not going to know that until you're taking care of yourself.
Okay.
Okay.
So there's still a possibility, even if my ex-fiance doesn't want to go through any counseling or anything.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because you're in a system right now. You're responding to her, she's responding. You're reacting to her, she's reacting to you. If you change the system changes one way or another.
Okay,
so I'm going to take a question from somebody who wrote in. At what point can I know, this is Laura from London, at what point can I know that a relationship with a Jekyll and Hyde is going nowhere and stop hoping for a personality shift when he seems to be so kind and charming and funny and thoughtful as often as he shows signs of pathology? Okay, so it's very important for all of us to understand that we all have a Jekyll and Hyde. We all have a wounded self that exhibits in different ways. And the wounded self in all of us is crazy because it's based on false beliefs, and that's the definition of insanity, is that it's not based on reality. So the wounded self in all of us, in one way or another, acts out in ways that are very unloving. Now, you're saying that when he's in his essence, his true self, he's kind and charming and funny. But hoping for a personality shift, that is not something we can ever do, is hope. If he is not in a process of learning to take responsibility for his own feelings, he's going to keep going in and out of his wounded self. And hoping that something's going to change really keeps you trapped. So if who he is in his wounded self is somebody that is absolutely not tolerable to you, I suggest that you really deal with your wounded self, your hopes. You're trying to control him. You're trying to change him. You're giving yourself up. All the things that you're doing at the other end of this that perpetuate this system. And once you have reached a place where you're really taking loving care of yourself, if he's still going back into, his wounded self in ways that are very unloving, then it's time to leave. Okay, so is there somebody else online that would like to ask me a question?
Yes, Margaret, I have a question.
Okay, and what's your name?
My name's Jerry.
Jerry, go ahead, Jerry. And,
my question is, could you give me an example of, in the process of interbonding, how you would identify a false belief and then how the false belief would be resolved through the process?
Yes. Okay, the process of inner bonding starts with being tuned into your feelings. Your feelings are your inner guidance. So let's say that you tune in and you're feeling anxious. You're aware of feeling anxious. Then in step two, you move into an intention to learn. You really want to know, what am I telling myself that's creating the anxiety? Because whatever it is that I'm doing or telling myself is coming from a false belief. Our feelings of anxiety and guilt and shame and depression and anger, these kinds of feelings are called wounded feelings. These feelings indicate that we're operating from a false belief. When we feel the core feelings of things like loneliness or heartbreak, these are coming from external situations. Those are not indicating a false belief. But these wounded feelings always indicate that we're operating from a false belief. So let's say I go inside and I say, what am I telling you that's causing you to be anxious? And my anxiety says to me, you're telling me I have to be perfect. I have to perform. I have to do it right so that people will like me. And if I don't perform and I don't do it right, I'm going to get rejected. Well, there's the false belief right there. That's a huge false belief that a lot of people have. And it creates a lot of anxiety. And the anxiety is my inner guidance letting me know that I'm operating from that false belief. So then, once I understand what the belief is that I'm operating from, then I open to learning in step four to my guidance and ask, what's the truth? And once you learn and practice inner bonding, you will be able to access the information about what the truth is, such as, you know, you don't have control over how other people feel about you. No matter how right or perfect you are, they're going to decide for themselves. It doesn't matter, you know. You're under the illusion that you can control, but really all you're doing is causing yourself a lot of anxiety. And so then I would ask my guidance, well, what would be loving to me? And my guidance might say, take the pressure off. get rid of the concept of performing and being attached to the outcome and thinking that other people are responsible for how you feel, and learn how to really love who you are. You've got a beautiful soul inside. And anyway, I mean, it could go very, very deep, but I hope you get the idea of what I'm talking about. And
yeah.
As we learn to access the truth, and as we take loving action in our own behalf, the false beliefs get healed.
Okay. But are false beliefs then kind of like irrational ideas that you have?
Yes. They're irrational. They're programs that we learned as we were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But our feelings, our wounded feelings, let us know every single time instantly that we're operating out of a false belief.
Gotcha. And by the way, thank you for referring me to Emily Agnew.
Oh, good. I'm glad that you're enjoying working with her.
Yeah, she's good.
Oh, she's great. We have wonderful trained facilitators. So, and I work on the phone, and most of the other facilitators work on the phone with clients. And there's help. If you can't afford my fees, there's certainly somebody there who you would be able to afford. And those people who join the website and really can't afford any counseling, we have free help with our facilitators in training. So we try to provide support for everybody, regardless of where they are in their financial situation. Okay, is there somebody else online that wants to ask me a question?
This is Janet. I'd like to ask a quick question.
Okay, Janet.
Hi. Thank you for doing this again this month.
You're welcome.
You are talking about, you know, couples, and I was wondering on the inner bonding, I had actually two questions. Do you, I have a long-distance relationship going on, somebody in another state. Is there a way to do couples? We could probably afford to pay half of the thing each.
Oh, yes, I work with couples all the time. You do three-way conversation.
Okay, so it would be through the phone.
So we just
have one membership, and then we would do the three-way conversation? Is that how it would work?
The membership has nothing to do with the phone sessions. Those are two different things. A membership is a membership on the website, and a phone session is a phone session. Now, if you were to have a phone session with me, that, you know, I charge $200 for a 45-minute session. We have facilitators that charge anywhere from $35 on up, and then we have facilitators for members who work for free for those who can't afford anything. But it would still be setting up a three-way conversation on the phone. But the membership is membership. That's different than what you do on the phone.
Okay, and I had one other question.
Uh-huh.
The inner bonding, when you join that, is there a live chat where other people that are working inner bonding get to go in and talk to each other?
Oh,
live?
Yes, we have chats 5 days a week. We have hosted chats where I have a hosted chat on Tuesday. Other facilitators do them on other days during the day and in the evenings. And plus people get on at other times with the chats and talk to each other and support each other. Plus we have very, very active discussion boards where people get on and get a lot of help. And plus we have people can ask questions, and I answer and other facilitators answer usually within hours of the question. So there's, and then of course there's, you know, over 1,000 articles on the site, and more than half of them are just for members. We have videos, just so many ways of helping you to learn and practice inner bonding.
Okay, great. Thank you. Oh, and thanks so much for what you were talking about tonight. I made a lot of notes. Thanks.
Oh, good. So I'm going to take one more question here that somebody has written in. Let me see. Okay. Is it possible to just not be a good match with someone in values and temperament and to pick the wrong one, even though both are working on becoming loving people? Generally, that is not what's creating the problems. It's not so much values and temperament as it is intention, as it is the underlying issues of a system. People can have totally different values and totally different temperaments and have a wonderful relationship when both of them are taking responsibility for themselves and being very kind with each other. So I want to encourage you to not look on the more surface things of like values and temperament, but to look at the deeper system of protection that's going on that obviously is creating a problem in connection. Because when people don't connect, it's because they're protecting. That's the reason they don't connect. Their hearts are not open to connecting. And that's the real issue, that they may think they're taking responsibility for themselves, but they're really not. They really have their eyes on the other person. They're really not doing what they need to do to bring themselves joy and make themselves happy. You know, when we're not loving ourselves, then we're just not filled up with love, and we don't have love to share with our partner. And so that's why it's so important to be practicing inner bonding, learning to fill yourself up with love that comes from spirit, and then have that love to share with your partner. If you're not doing that, then your eyes are going to be on your partner, and you're going to be really missing the point of what a relationship is really about. So I want to thank all of you for joining me. I hope to see you on our membership site. I hope you come to our store. I hope you take advantage of all the resources. We have a new relationship toolbox that is incredible for couples. And as I said, that next week I think that our software program, SelfQuest, will be ready. We have our intensives, our workshops, our phone sessions, many ways of helping you to heal within yourself and heal within your relationship. So I hope that you all take advantage of what we have to offer, and I wish you all a good evening and blessings to all of you. Good night. I'm going to unmute, and so I can say good night to everybody. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Eileen, are you there?
Bye-bye.
Eileen.